Welcome to today's discussion on veterans in private sector, making the transition, provided by EMC. Here's Tom Temin, anchor of the Federal Drive on Federal News Radio.
Welcome to the show. For federal agencies, giving hiring preference to the nation's veterans is the law of the land. But for both agencies and contractors, you'll find plenty of good reasons for recruiting and hiring veterans other than that. In this segment, we're going to talk about one company's experience. Our guests are Dan Daugherty, Vice President of EMC's Federal Division, and retired Army Major General John Custer, Director of Federal Strategic Missions and Programs at EMC. Gentlemen, great to have you. So let's describe EMC's own experience in hiring veterans generally. Dan, why don't we start with you?
Oh, great. Well, thanks, Tom. Well, first of all, it's an honor to work with the veterans on our team. We have a tremendous amount of veterans in our organization. And every day, whether it's working with John or Mike or Greg or whoever else, they do a wonderful job. But two, you know, some of our best employees are really the servicemen and women that we've hired. They have great leadership skills. They take initiative. They take responsibility. They're accountable. They're creative. You know, those are exactly the things that every company is looking for when they hire great people.
All right. And how does it work for you, John? You were hired as a veteran, so to speak. I mean, an experienced one, but a veteran. And Sure. Now you are a manager.
Almost every estimate today says that about 500,000 military veterans are going to leave the service over the course of the next 5 years. And that is a tremendous treasure trove at EMC and across industry that we see coming out of the military. They have the talents, the expertise, the life experience that we're looking for, the leadership skills, the personal leadership skills, the managerial skills, and they're drug-free. We know that. It's something that we want to capitalize on and all of industry does.
So, John, what are some of the best practices for preparing service members? Again, having prepared yourself and now looking at people coming out, some of those 500,000, what's the best way to make sure people are ready for the private experience?
Sure. Well, I think it takes some self-introspection, some, you know, a look at yourself. First, it's what do you want to do? You know, when you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, you kind of realize your strengths and your weaknesses. And the biggest thing in moving from a military scenario into a civilian life is what do you want to do? In the case of a retiree, it's how hard do you want to work? You catalog your skills. You decide what it is that you want to do. In my case, I wrote a job description. I knew what I wanted to do and then talked to various industries, various companies about doing that job description. It's an interesting process, and it's a challenge to move from that military to the civilian workforce. But so many of those skills translate exactly into what industry is looking for.
How about some of the younger vets that might have just recent combat experience or maybe didn't go through the full career as you did? What about them?
Sure. It's the leadership skills. It's, you know, the skills in the military, whether it's logistics, whether it's high-tech cyber skills, whether it's managerial, administrative, in many cases, they equate exactly jobs, you know, skills in the military, jobs in industry, they equate one for one, and that's exactly what we're looking for. We have a very good vet net within EMC. We're constantly talk to the classes of veterans who have left the military and now are in training with EMC to become technical consultants or salesmen, whatever. And I get a lot out of those courses, and I think they do too.
And so what should the company do internally to make sure that it's not just recruiting, but that when vets get there, it's the kind of place that they're comfortable in?
Well, that's an important part to it because you really have to be comfortable in the environment. You've got to be part of the culture. We have to make sure that people are successful, and it doesn't happen automatically. So John mentioned the vet circles that we have, the veteran circles, where they get together, they talk about the challenges that they all might have, right? We make sure that we have a mentor assigned to each veteran, right, to make sure that person has somebody under their wing which is going to be responsible for their career and development, right? So we spend a lot of time making sure the indoctrination and the start that they have is a good experience because their first 90 days are so important to success.
Does the mentor have to be a vet, or can it be more integrated if maybe it's not a vet?
No.
What's the best practice there?
Yeah, I think it's best sometimes to not have a veteran, right? Because they're trying to create a career in the private sector, and you want to understand and have that experience from a person from the private sector to relate it to what they're doing today. But then it doesn't hurt, of course, to have somebody on the line like John Custer every once in a while as well.
Well, I imagine veterans at some point need to discuss things with another veteran. Is that that's a myth or is it a reality? Because we hear that a lot.
No, and that's exactly what our VetsNet does. I was really surprised at the response. Somebody on the VetNet over Memorial Day came up and just said, hey, tell me where you were. Tell me what you did in the military. And we had people coming out of the Korean War and out of Vietnam and certainly out of our past conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq, talking about where they had been. And even I saw some, I only was stateside, but here's the three or four things that I did. And it's reinforcing. It's a self-reinforcing experience there to know that somebody else out there has a similar experience. They're working in the company, and they're willing to be a mentor for new people coming in.
And I imagine a non-veteran overhearing that conversation must learn a lot, too. So in a way, it kind of pervades the whole company.
Particularly around leadership skills and leadership training and development, right? Oftentimes, organizations don't spend a lot of time internally on development of those types of things. And the military obviously does a great job with that. So, sure, there's things every day that we learn from our veterans, right, and that need to take advantage of that.
Now, Dan, you have a lot of divisions and pieces of EMC. How do they work together? And do you ever work with other companies to make sure that the greater goal, the societal goal of hiring veterans is achieved?
Right. Well, great question. We EMC is a charter member of the 100,000 jobs mission. Right, which is something that President Obama sponsored. We're very proud to be part of that. We participate in almost every job fair we can. We have counselors on staff that will talk with the veterans. So before they have an interview, as they're putting together their resume, they get some view into what is the private sector looking for so that they tailor their skills so that they seem more attractive or come across more attractive to the employer.
You're listening to a discussion on veterans in the private sector making the transition provided by EMC. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll explore more of the skills and abilities veterans bring to the job. I'm Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.